Hi everyone, it's Adam from Monkey Tennis here. Just saying a huge thank you to all of you that have supported my charity appeal so far. For those that haven't heard about it, this September I'm going to be swimming 15 kilometres between five islands in Cornwall. I'll be swimming the Isles of Scilly, that's Scilly, S-C-I-L-L-Y. I'm doing it because I want to, but also to raise money for CALM, the campaign against living miserably. It's a well-known statistic that 125 people in the UK die by suicide every week, and CALM run a free and confidential helpline for people to speak through their problems and ultimately to help prevent suicides. I'm looking to raise enough money to train two new phone workers to man those lines, and I'll be doing it by swimming the Isles of Scilly in Cornwall. If you're looking to support me, it would be greatly appreciated. You can donate at justgiving.com. Just go there and search for Adam Swim Scilly. That's Adam Swim Scilly, S-C-I-L-L-Y. All donations greatly appreciated. Thank you for helping me to support CALM. And now, on with Monkey Tennis.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Monkey Tennis?
Look, this is great banter.
Hot, 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 hot ham.
Monkey Tennis?
Radical. Awesome. Mega.
Are you on an E? Monkey Tennis?
Yeah.
I'm spinning plates here, mate, I'll be honest. Monkey Tennis?
There have been times when I've been more rubbery than turgid.
Monkey Tennis?
Tits bits. Tit bits.
Yes.
It's just an idiom.
You're an idiot.
Ooh, that's mustard.
Monkey Tennis?
Sustaining and maintaining our core listenership in an increasingly fragmented marketplace.
Hello, chums, and welcome back to Monkey Tennis, the Alan Partridge fan podcast. I'm Adam Brooks, and I'm joined by Tom Dark.
Yes, it's an extender.
Nick Older.
Better build that time travel gymnasium, then you'll kiss me.
And Tom Stab.
Where's the road? There's no road!
So, before we get stuck into Series 5 of Monkey Tennis, we are going to go through a couple of important points, some of your feedback, tell you about our plans for the forthcoming few episodes, and also look back over some of the highlights of 2017, Alan-wise.
It's going to be a bit of a recap, bit of a catch-up, bit of a free-form chat.
Like it.
Chat roulette,
Let's
if you
go.
Like, but with less swinging knobs. So we're going to
four released.
Yeah.
Four swinging knobs.
I'm stationary. Producer Jed is also here. Are you interested in using your one word per episode right at the top of today's episode? Here we go.
Burger sauce.
No, two words.
It's always two words.
It's all burger sauce with you.
So we're currently taking applications for new producers, so do get in touch.
The only requirement is being being a good producer, and B, not accepting burger sauce into the condiment world.
Oh, and C, knowing the difference between one word and two.
That's true. So anyway, we'll get started with some quick fire questions from you, the lovely Monkey Tennis audience. The first one is from James Allen. He says, are there any plans to review Mid-Morning Matters with Alan Partridge?
Mm.
Well, there's a reason we've put that at the top of the show, because that's exactly what we're going to do.
Oh, are we? Nobody told me that. Shit, when are we?
Have you watched it yet, Nick?
No.
Right. We're recording tomorrow, so you probably should.
Over the coming weeks, we're going to tackle Mid-Morning Matters Series 1. You'll note that we've already covered, well, I say we, the other three have already covered episode 1.
Yeah, somebody did ask me if Adam ever made it from Chiswick Roundabout, and I'm afraid he didn't for episode 1, but he's here now, so it's fine.
I went straight to Claridge's and ordered room service.
Yeah.
And stole a towel. But anyway, yes, so we'll be covering that episode by episode over the coming weeks once we've done all this feedback business. And so the next one is for Tom Dark to read.
We had this question from Rob Cummings on Twitter. He says, if Alan was on Twitter, what pages/people would he follow?
Would he follow Britain First?
Yeah. Well, he definitely followed Daily Mail, the Daily Express, the Daily Telegraph, yeah,
covered Times.
All the papers, definitely. Clarkson's in there, yep, and any other Top Gear affiliates or whatever. Yep. What's it called now? The Grand Tour?
I think if he did follow some of those, he would deselect them one by one as they became involved in some sort of media furore for fear of getting entwined in it, being seen to endorse it.
I feel like he might follow Britain First, but not really understand what it is. And then somebody would point it out, and then he'd unfollow quite quickly.
Yeah, I think he'd probably follow the National Trust and Camera, the campaign for Relay.
Yeah, very good. Yep, definitely.
Official Rover Twitter page,
official Lexus Twitter profile.
I think there might be a Rover Twitter page. I'm not sure if it would be official. They are redundant.
Oh, good point.
In the age of Twitter, they do not exist.
Okay, they've gone the way of...
I wonder if Flavia have got a Twitter page.
Links.
At Toblerone.
not anymore.
We're just listing products.
He's blocked them because he can't envisage it coming back.
Here's a good extension to the question. Would any of the characters be on Twitter? I'm thinking Lynn, Michael, Ben.
I don't think Michael
in the Partridge universe.
In the fictitious Partridge world.
There's no way Lynn understands how Twitter works, although she's probably on it, but has never tweeted, and she's an egg.
And she is on. She has posted on YouTube, remember?
Good point.
Leave him alone.
Also, I wonder,
only God can smite him.
Exactly.
I wonder what social network of choice each of them would have. I feel like Michael is very much Bebo level. Bebo, Pornhub, or MySpace for Michael.
Not altogether, though.
I think Alan is absolutely LinkedIn through and through. Lynn's Facebook.
Yeah, or chain letters.
And it will be a letter, not an email.
No, Lynn's friends reunited,
isn't
she?
Yeah.
Does that even exist anymore? Also, did I say Flavia earlier? Is it Flavia or Flavia? I've confused myself now.
It's a Flavia, isn't it?
Is it a Flavia? I'm sure somebody will email us.
It's Jones and Scone, isn't it?
Yeah. Okay, let's move on.
I think in reality, just to finish this bit off, I think that he would join Twitter, but probably not follow anyone, because he's more interested in broadcasting than dealing with people.
He'd maybe use it to self-promote, but not to engage with fans. Yeah.
Well, he has, hasn't he? There's been an official Alan Partridge Twitter account when he's got a book coming out.
I'm just going to look it up now.
Okay, I think it might have been taken off Twitter, actually. I had a look the other day and couldn't find it, but maybe I'm just a Twitter Luddite.
Next up, we have a message from Luke Thompson, who says, how do you all manage to look and sound identical? It's actually quite impressive.
Thanks very much.
who said that, though?
Very good.
To be fair, Luke, we do all look the same.
It's because we were actually all genetically engineered in a lab, which was created by Tom Dark 40 years earlier.
very good.
Actually, maybe we're the creation of an evil
podcasting genius.
Yeah, exactly. Did Jed create us in a test tube and bred us to be podcasters?
Jed is our father/mother.
Does that mean we're part burger sauce?
Yes.
Unfortunately, it does. Yes.
When we cut ourselves, we bleed burger sauce. So next, we will move on to a question from Barbara Kirk. Should we all say hello to Barbara?
Hi, Barbara.
Hello, Barbara. And she asks, is it Digital Dave singing lead on Benny Benassi's Push Me? So what do
now,
we
does anybody not understand that question? By the way, I'm looking at Nick here. Okay, he's got the Benny Benassi part now. Nick, do you know who Digital Dave is?
Only because you told me off mic before we recorded the show.
Behind the curtain. Anyway, Barbara, I think I would say, yes, good spot. The voices are exactly the same.
Ruck Colchez got in touch to say, loving at the Partridge Pod, but they could use a researcher. I'm American and I keep yelling things at my radio that they miss or don't know.
To be honest, I agree with him.
Yeah, I mean, what's annoying about that is he hasn't told us what we've missed and what we've got wrong. So if we could get a bit more information, that'd be quite helpful.
Also, you could have said, I'm an American.
So are we saying that Ruck likes American things?
Well, yes. I mean, he's called Ruck, which sounds quite American.
He definitely drives in convoy.
Yep.
And also, you're listening to us on the radio. I'm not sure about that.
Hang on, yeah. I keep yelling things at my radio. Not a problem, pal.
That's unrelated.
Yeah. What's the radio done to anger you?
Okay, we've got another observation here in from JB on Twitter. And he says, it's good that this I've got this one. He says, listen to the old episodes, and I have to back up Old Man Dark. That's me. There was a Foster's in the South End. It was slightly better than Mr. Byright. So thanks, JB.
See, more fuel on the Foster's menswear fire there.
I think I've compiled enough evidence now that you guys should know that I'm not making it up.
Yep. The Foster's menswear dossier is bursting at the seams.
I don't remember Foster's menswear, but I definitely remember Mr. Buy-Right.
The Foster's files.
What did Mr. Buy-Right sell?
Oh, shit, clothes. So
same as Foster's.
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
Next up, we have a comment from Paul Taverner, who says, Alan has form for calling a woman bollock naked. He says, completely Billy Bollocks when doing the Bond reenactment.
That's in reference to us talking on the pod about him describing a woman as bollock naked and me pointing out the necessary biological flaw in that argument. It's not his first offence.
Next, we have a factoid from Andrew Ryan. He says, want to know a nerdy fact about Knowing Me, Knowing You All?
Yes, I do.
Yes, you do. The model of the car from Santa isn't a Rover, but a Renault. Safran, is that? How do you pronounce
Safran,
it?
Safran, I think it's Safran.
To be exact, yeah, Safran. Yeah. Ashamed I know that, but there you go. I'll get me coat. Don't get your coat. You can stay. You're a Partridge aficionado.
Join us.
I wonder, I mean, this is a stretch even by my standards, but I wonder if that the reason it wasn't actually a Rover is because if it was a Rover, that is a legitimate product placement, which they're not allowed to do.
That's quite a good point.
Nice to get a comment about Knowing Me, Knowing Yule. That's obviously one of the things we covered most recently live at the Prince Charles Cinema. You can obviously listen back to those episodes, including one with our very special guest, Simon Greenall. Thought it's time to take a moment and appreciate Simon and maybe have a little chat about how that went down.
Well, I mean, in short, it was amazing.
Yeah.
So good.
It's like meeting your hero, isn't it?
And also
for him.
Very good.
Bless him, he was very patient with all of us, wasn't he? Asking sort of like these questions about something that happened to him sort of 20, 25 years ago.
Yeah, I thought at the beginning, because when he kept on going up back to the Nelson stuff, I was like, oh God, he doesn't really want to be here. He doesn't really want to talk about Alan. I was genuinely worried.
I thought, he must know why we've asked him to come along.
For those who haven't listened, when we were asking questions at the beginning of the Q&A session, Simon Greenall basically kept on wanting to make points about Admiral Nelson and historical facts
in reference to something Nick said.
Make sure you go back and listen to those.
He was amazing. He was hilarious.
A great sport.
And I think we got some real nuggets of Partridge Gold there, like particularly some of the scenes that never made it to the actual shows.
About whether or not Michael's seen the news at 10.
Yeah. I've never seen it! Michael, the news at 10? And what was the other one about Michael's favourite state?
Pissed.
Yeah, brilliant.
Lovely. Okay, moving on to a little bit of iPartridge feedback now. We got a tweet from John Ratton, who said that the audiobook Letter from Carol, Ghost, written by Alan Partridge, features Coogan's voice morphing from AP into Carol, and that actually sounds like Pauline Calf, which makes a lot of sense,
I don't know if I actually said that in the episode or not, but I mean, I fully agree with that. And I think there are a few moments in Mid-Morning Matters where a similar thing happens. If you compare early Alan to later Alan, he just sounds a bit more naturally like Coogan, a bit more Manchester, and which just means it ends up sounding like Pauline Calf. Interestingly, Pauline Calf, not Paul Calf. So I don't quite know how that works.
That's strange.
Moving on to a message from Danny Toman. So this is, again, continuing some feedback on the iPartridge book about Alan's, when Alan just kind of references a potential suicide bid when he drove to Dundee. So Danny writes, I have a different interpretation that the hose pipe and his depression was very real, but he buried it quickly as a shameful footnote. He used chocolate as a glamorized unique selling point addiction because it was for his first book, which backs up the unreliable narrator narrative. And I would agree with that. It's kind of because I think he talks in the book about the chocolate addiction, that is the USP, but obviously he doesn't want to focus on he was genuinely clinically upset.
Yeah, and when I first listened to iPartridge, I kind of thought that as well. I didn't think that he was making up the fact that he was depressed. I thought he was genuinely depressed and was actually going to... It's a throwaway remark, which means he doesn't really want to deal with it, and that's kind of how I read it.
Yeah, and that's exactly how the book operates. Anything which is actually deeply serious just gets pushed to the side.
So next up, we have a question from Matthew, no surname. By all means, rewrite in with your surname and we'll include that next time. And he says, Mr. Continuity Error from Places of My Life. In the book, he says he can throw the flowers to his mum's grave from the car, whereas in Places of My Life, his mum's grave is nowhere near the road.
Now, I enjoy that very much, but if he's saying that we missed a continuity error, we've not covered Places of My Life yet. That's still to come. So,
So he's made a continuity error with our podcast.
And as have the writers.
But when we get to Places of My Life, at least we know to talk about that.
Perhaps by then we'll have your surname.
Next up is someone who does have a surname. It's Aidan Wright, who messaged us on Facebook and says, "Lads, you missed a fact out about Dale Winton. He had a false marriage, brackets allegedly, with Nell McAndrew. Keep up the good work. Any chance of a mention?" Well, we did that at the beginning. So allegedly a marriage between Dale Winton and Nell McAndrew.
This, I believe, if memory serves, and my Dale Winton knowledge is not comprehensive, I'm the first to admit it.
Oh, come on, we know it is.
Is that I think he did this... It was kind of a spoof. It was like a mockumentary.
Stunt for TV?
Yeah, where they basically pretended that he was having this big celebrity wedding and there were all sorts of cameos from kind of, you know, daytime TV faces.
That does ring a bell, actually.
I'd completely forgotten about it, to be honest, but now you mention it, it all comes flooding back. I do remember that. It was some kind of publicity stunt for... It smacks of Channel 5, doesn't it?
I feel like, was it BBC Choice? Was that what BBC 3 was called back in the day? Was it one of those sort of things?
UK Play? It certainly wasn't one of the big three, was it, surely?
No.
We'll get some feedback on this and then cover it in the next feedback episode.
Excellent plan, yeah. So if you know more about that, do write in.
Next one is from Ross Carpenter. He says, "In I'm Alan Partridge, it's 182 days in the Travel Tavern. In I Partridge, 183 nights, therefore 184 days. Just a minor inconsistency and not as glaring," he says, "as the different door numbers in Linton Travel Tavern," which in the programme you can see it, he's in room 216, but in I Partridge he says it's 28.
I mean, that is good. Some good spots there, Ross.
That's attention to detail. Yeah.
I mean, it's just, that's so bizarre because that's such an easy thing to have consistently correct. So you've got to think, is that deliberately inconsistent? And if so, why? Yeah. Why? If you know why not write it?
Cover it in the next feedback episode.
It's the sort of thing that if you were choosing to include his room number in iPartridge, you would just go back to the DVD, wouldn't you? Just have a quick look.
I'm just going to speculate here because that's what we like to do. I can only assume it's yet again adding fuel to the fire of the unreliable narrator. And maybe it's Alan being quite slapdash in his approach to work, so he hasn't bothered to actually check what his room number was. He's gone, "Oh, I was probably in room, I don't know, 28.
Another one of these situations where we can never be sure if it's Alan's error or the writer's of Alan's error.
Only we could talk to the writers. Anyway, moving on. It's time to talk about one of our numerous errors that have littered recent episodes.
You've got them listed on this document as balls ups.
Yes, so it's time to talk about balls up number one, which I've liked to subtitle, "A Funny Thing Happened on the Way to the Podcast." So we talked about Alan references the book that he wrote before I Partridge called "A Funny Thing Happened on the Way to the Stadium to Alan Partridge" by Alan Partridge, and essentially we were kind of saying we didn't know what that was. We'd gone briefly mindless because I have listened to all of the Knowing Me, Knowing You radio shows in which he does reference it quite a lot. So thanks to everybody that wrote in to tell us about that. I'll name a few of you. We've had Adam Porte, Spencer, no surname, Matt Fitzpatrick, Blackout, Michael Brennan, and several other people. It's a book that Alan referenced a lot in Know Me, Knowing You on the Radio 4 shows, and he even reads an extract where he exchanges insurance details with George Best. So I'm not sure if the whole of the team have actually heard that, but yes, we do know.
This is when we could have used that researcher that Tex wanted us to get earlier.
What was his name?
I'm just going to call him Tex.
Yeah. Tex.
He was an American.
Text.
Okay, next.
You're enjoying yourself there. Should we talk about another balls up?
Yes. So another balls up, which I think is on our part, is we were obviously doing a special at Comic-Con on Scissored Isle, where we speculated on where the origins of that title might have come from.
Yes.
And we were kind of thinking maybe it was something to do with the North-South divide. We weren't really sure. However... four of our listeners were pretty clear.
I will say, I think more than that. Remember, this is selected highlights we're looking at here.
Okay. Numerous listeners were very clear on where this had come from. So it would appear that the origins for Scissored Isle are from...
I like the way you're saying it would appear, like you're still not sold on this.
Well, I am quoting from Wikipedia and from people from Twitter, so, you know, it hasn't been verified.
Okay, so you're calling them liars?
I'm not calling them liars. Allegedly. It could be based on this Sceptre. Possibly based on this Sceptred Isle, which is a radio series written by the historian Christopher Lee about the story of the British lands and peoples by the BBC, produced in 1995, and is basically 216 16 episodes each, which was 12 to 14 minutes long, and a total runtime of 29 hours.
How many episodes?
216.
Right, right, question.
We've got a long way to go.
Would Alan have wanted Scissor Doll to be that length?
Yes.
Also, it's vying for the title of longest running series with Monkey Tennis, probably, at the moment. we must be on about 29 hours.
So I should just say a shout out to Chris Adams, Dom, Jonathan Cook, and Gary Lord, who wrote in and told us that.
Thanks for your surnames. So moving on to the next section, which is titled Alan on Dogs, which I quite like. So another
just,
Balls Up.
Just my own titling system when compiling.
But this is effectively Balls Up 3, is it?
Yes.
Yeah. So Hello Sophie, or at Hello Sophie on Twitter, says, I've got a baby brain, so could be wrong.
No, hang on a second. She hasn't got a baby brain.
You've read that wrong.
She's got baby brain, which is what you say when you're having a baby makes you forget stuff. And
I've literally never heard that
phrase
before.
She doesn't have the brain of a child, of a small child.
Have you heard of someone who's had a baby brain before, though?
No.
He's got baby brain, isn't he?
I genuinely haven't heard that as a phrase.
Okay, well, she's got baby brain.
Okay, she's got baby brain.
Not her baby's
brain.
Not
her baby's brain. No, I understand that. I understood what the phrase means.
Just read what's on the paper.
Yeah, I understood what the phrase means.
Just read it out.
But I just didn't really get it. But now apparently it's a phrase. Could be wrong, but didn't Alan talk about a dog he loved with agony aunt Polly? And he wants custody of Angela's dog in Mid-Morning Matters. And yes, I know I need to get out more. You don't need to get out more. You need to come and record a podcast with us. But we talked previously about how... what was the name of the dog in
Seldom?
Seldom, of course, and he only eats boiled eggs. about how Alan wasn't a dog lover, or he got Seldom for the purposes of Scissor Dial. But then obviously this contradicts that.
Well, interestingly, I think you could argue whether it does or doesn't contradict, because these two dog references come in Mid-Morning Matters.
Yes.
So at the point we were discussing it, where does that land in the Alan timeline?
So you think he might have grown to love dogs, having had one as a child, and then there's a big gap of no dog, and then Seldom.
But but in terms of how it appears in the fictions, it doesn't necessarily mean that.
Well, it's not referenced in I, Partridge.
No.
Which you think it would be if it was a sort of pivotal part of his life, in the way that it's suggested it is in Mid-Morning Matters. So who knows?
Inconclusive.
Inconsistent narrator.
We don't know.
What we need to look at is when Mid-Morning Matters series one happened versus when Scissor Dial happened.
Do we need to take a visit to the Fact Cave again?
Yes, let's go to the Fact Cave.
Okay, I've come back from the Fact Cave, and Mid-Morning Matters Series 1 was first online, I believe, in 2010, before later being televised. So that came before...
You went to the Fact Cave and didn't find out all that.
You've left the facts in the cave.
I went to the Fact Cave. It was just full of dust and moss.
And burger sauce.
And baby's brains. The next one was from Lottie Lamshank, not her real name, who says, how brilliant would an Alan Partridge Monopoly be? That on its own is obviously...
The answer good. Is yes.
Yes, go, green light, and
but
approved.
There's more.
But yeah, she's gone into some detail, so here we go. I'm going to bullet point it for you. Stations include Shattered Dreams Parkway. Choose a chance card and get Sue Cook as pulled out, lose a turn.
Very good.
Nice. Brilliant.
Yeah.
Another card, record video for Meteor Productions, earn £50. My personal favourite's next, Night Out with Dave Clifton, go straight to jail.
That is amazing.
Properties could include BBC Restaurant, Excalibur Cottage, Jed's Bungalow, Lithgow Street, Alan's Caravan, Model of Alan's House, as seen in Know Me, Know Newell. And finally, another card from the Chance or Community Chest pile, Injunction from Makers of Cluedo, pay £200.
That's brilliant. Yeah, very good.
Wouldn't that be from the makers of Monopoly, though?
Want flexibility? Take yoga. Want flexibility with your health insurance? Check out United Healthcare Insurance Plans. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they offer flexible, budget-friendly medical, dental, and vision coverage that may be right for you. More at uh1.com.
With LinkedIn Jobs, we tap into a network of more than a billion professionals to help you find quality professionals quickly and easily for any role you need. Marketing wizards? Found them.
Software engineers?
Found.
That project manager I could never seem to hire?
And found. LinkedIn Jobs quickly matches your roles with candidates with the right skills and experience. In fact, 86% of small businesses get a qualified candidate within 24 hours. Post your first job for free and get started at linkedin.com/spoken. That's linkedin.com/spoken. Terms and conditions apply.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more, with Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. quince.com/style.
Quite possibly.
Well, that it could also happen.
That game would be absolutely brilliant.
Yeah, I would play that, definitely.
It'd be so good.
Kickstarter?
I think, and if anyone else has got other suggestions for properties and card ideas, they should definitely send them in. And maybe we can make that happen
as well. Perhaps there's no free parking because they've pedestrianised it. Perhaps
like it.
Yes. Mm-hmm. Yeah, yeah, yeah. Yep. Yep.
And the hotels should obviously be Linton Travel Taverns as well.
And then the little pieces could be the Rover car, the Corby Trouser Press, Seldom the dog.
You're on fire.
While you're building up to your Linton Travel Tavern hotel, you can collect 5 bedroom bastard houses.
or static caravans. Instead of the top hat, you can have string back driving gloves.
Yes. That's very good.
Okay, basically, Lottie, you've absolutely struck gold.
Yes. So let's make that happen.
Let's make that happen.
2 lamb shanks for you, Lottie.
Yeah.
Continuing with our feedback catch up, we want to give a quick shout out to all the shitty zombies that sent us in their pictures back at Halloween last year. James Harland, Dave Rennie, Paul Kelly, Paul Sheridan, Pete Rendell, Rob Burnell, there may be some others. We'll post a little collage of all our shitty zombies there, and great work, but never going to use them. Never going to use them.
Andrew Philpott writes, Alan was always a man who would be British and buy British. Metro, Rover, etc. So why did he change to Lexus, I wonder? That was a surprise for me, but then I'm just a bit sad.
Could it be, I'm trying to think in the timeline when he moved over to Lexi. Was it around the time that Sonia was on the scene? Is he experimenting with overseas and European companions and vehicles?
Whilst Rover
it's an American company, isn't it? Lexus?
No. It's like, it's the Far East. It's like Japanese.
Oh, is it?
Yeah.
Okay.
But also, there's very few British car makers now, isn't there?
Yeah, but in 2002...
Rover wasn't going in 2002.
Is it not?
No.
He's picking from a dwindling supply.
Are you sure we don't need to go to the Fat Cave to fact check that?
We probably should. I'm just saying there's limited options in the British car market.
But why Lexi?
Well,
I think it's probably good. Well, I mean,
luxury status.
You're saying it's a good investment.
Yeah, yeah, and he would have got all the information from what car magazine, wouldn't he? If we know he's an avid reader of that.
Do you think somebody's told him at some point it's the Rover of Japan, and he's been unable to think of anything else?
Yeah, probably exactly. So basically, if we go back to 2002 and look at the most recommended cars via Top Gear magazine, What Car magazine, it would be in there, and that's the decision that he's made.
Let's all say hello to James Allen. He writes in and says, "Today I learned that my lecturer once worked with Ian Shurrock, who played Jed on a theatre production. Apparently, he now sells kitchens."
And that is Jed Maxwell, not Jed Shepherd.
Yes, correct.
So Jed Maxwell Watch, that's the latest instalment. All the way back when we were covering I'm Alan Partridge, I did try and track down Ian Shurrock. Found that he was working in, I think, a Bupa care home, who were not keen to hear from me. And also told me that he had already moved on by that point. So perhaps he was straight into the kitchen trade.
Kitchen Planet, maybe.
Kitchen Planet. Do get in touch with us if you hear this, Ian Shurrock, and if anyone's listening that knows him, please do point him our way.
Well, we do know it's James Allen's lecturer.
Oh, that's true, yeah.
James, send us his details, we'll get in touch.
So now we come on to the thorny issue of Nick's poll.
This is big talk.
You'll remember in a recent series, Nick insisted on compiling a Twitter poll that was made almost zero sense.
It made zero sense.
Wasn't it? Oh, I know what it was.
It was how funny that scene was.
How funny is the scene in Scissor Dial with the old lady at the checkout? Because I think it's great. And Nick thinks it's bum. So, but he insisted that the only options were, how funny is this scene? 1, 2, 3, and 4, with no further explanation.
I would remember, we all had to choose a number as well.
So if that number was already picked, we weren't allowed to pick it.
Thankfully, it wasn't just us. You, the listener, were as perplexed and confused as we were. Starting with James Hart, who said, why do you have to have one number each?
Exactly.
One simply can't calibrate discrete non-linear opinions onto unique linear points along a continuum. I mean,
he's done you.
You've said it all, James. Yeah. But he follows it up. Unless it's just a ranking in a list with each index having an arbitrary value, in which case that value itself needs to be defined. And then he follows that up by saying, "Can I have 5?"
No, you can't.
No, you can't.
Not an option.
Twitter only allows 4 options on a poll. And then BBAPBF said, "I went for 1 because I saw it like a laughometer."
And it's probably worth pointing out, BB, AP, BF, easy for me to say, that's bouncing back Alan Partridge's biggest fans. So, hello. They do listen.
Mm-hmm. They're our biggest fans.
They're just our biggest fans. So, yeah, Nick, was it like a laugh-o-meter? Was it something else? Can you explain it?
Yeah. So, you thought it was the funniest thing, i.e. four, the top number.
So did I.
So four is the top number.
I also thought it was like a game within a game.
But why aren't I allowed to think it's the funniest thing?
Yeah, and also, for starters, we didn't specify that four was funny and one wasn't.
Well, okay, you can flip that. So you flip those.
So we're flipping it now, or are we not flipping it?
It doesn't matter.
Well, that's... it does matter, because we're confused. You've not been clear.
Jed's gone.
It's very clear.
Hang on a minute. Jed, I'm going to allow you another word here. Jed, do you understand Nick's system, yes or no?
No.
There we go.
You're dead to me, Jed.
I was worried you were going to say burger sauce then, and I probably would have punched you.
So, one or four, whichever one you want.
Oh, so it's only two options now.
Let me speak. Yeah.
So, one or four, whichever way you want to work it, that's how versatile the game is.
But what if two people that are doing it want to work it in opposite directions?
Because that's... No. Well, that doesn't matter.
What we've established here is that Nick is very much the Carl Pilkington of this podcast. We are Gervais and Merchant.
No.
And very much the Rosie of the podcast if you're comparing it to Adam Buxton as well.
Just a dog running around aimlessly.
Yeah, effectively.
He's quite happy with that comparison.
Let me explain.
Let me finish.
Please do.
Scale of one to four, right?
Mm-hmm.
Yep. Let's say in this example, one is the funniest.
Yep.
So that would be...
So you've just flipped the previous example.
Yeah, so that'd be Adam.
Right.
I thought it wasn't very funny. That's four.
Okay. But hang on. I voted for four when I did this.
No, let's say in this situation you're voting for one.
Okay.
So we're flipping from how it ran originally.
Yes.
Yeah. Can we not stick to how it ran originally?
No, we're already going down this rabbit hole. Let him keep digging.
So the game within the game is the poll was not only how funny do you find it, but you're also voting with your favourite star of the podcast.
Tom Stab, I believe you have a question.
You didn't specify that it was a game within a game. You just...
If you listen back to the tapes...
Are you saying it's a game within a game within a poll?
No. If you listen back to tapes, I wasn't allowed to speak properly. I was cut off.
Yeah, but that's just because of natural defects.
Right, see, you've just explained it. I still don't fucking understand what the fuck is going on.
No, I get it. I mean, I get it. Well, I'm playing along for comedy value here. But basically, it's a scale of one to four. We should have explained which end was which, but we didn't.
Yeah.
It's Nick, and that's what happens.
I'm with you up to this point,
But then he's also saying that you vote along with your favourite member. But what he's missed out is that means that each of us has to have enjoyed it to a certain
equivalent level.
Regardless of how we actually enjoyed it,
yeah,
we have to have pretended
Correct. That
one of us was one or two or three.
And that was why it didn't work.
Yeah. In summary, absolute nonsense. Get in the bin. 0 out of 10. Goodbye.
Thanks very much.
Nick will be returning next series with Nick's Poll, the new regular feature.
So we're coming off the back of the shambles now that's Nick's Poll. I don't really see how we can bring this episode back from that. So
can we run a poll to see if people...
No more polls.
No. Let it go.
So we're going to park this episode of Monkey Tennis there, but we'll be back shortly with even more of your feedback. We're going to be talking about Alan's potential new show that's due on the BBC this year. Very exciting.
Yeah, we're going to do a bit more wild speculation, I think, probably.
Yeah, got some absolute bombshells that some of you, as the listeners, have brought in that we hadn't occurred to us and have literally blown all four of our minds.
And we're also going to have a bit of a chat about the recent documentary that ran in December on BBC Two, celebrating 25 years of Alan.
Very exciting. So please join us for that. But you can also get in touch in the meantime if you've got feedback on the feedback. It's thepartridgepod@gmail.com, twitter.com/thepartridgepod, facebook.com/thepartridgepod, or Instagram @monkeytennispod. From all of us at Monkey Tennis, thanks and goodbye.
Bye.
Bye. Bye.
Monkey Tennis is a post-pop podcast produced by Jed Shepherd. If you're interested in podcasts about Red Dwarf, X-Files, what to watch on Netflix, or TV pilot episodes pitched against one another, find them at postpoppodcasts.com. Our artwork is by Finn McLean, and you can find his website at finn.design. The theme is an excerpt from Galloping Home by Dennis King. Thanks for listening.
Monkey Tennis?
Well, this is great banter.
Hot, 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 hot ham.
Monkey Tennis?
Radical. Awesome. Mega.
Are you on an E?
Monkey Tennis?
Yeah.
I'm spinning plates here, mate, I'll be honest.
Monkey Tennis?
There have been times when I've been more rubbery than turgid.
Monkey Tennis?
Tits bits. Tit bits.
Yes, and yes.
It's just an idiom.
You're an idiot.
Ooh, that's mustard.
Monkey Tennis?
sustaining and maintaining our core listenership in an increasingly fragmented marketplace.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Hey there! Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower-than-low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.